Hey, well, welcome everybody. I had a little trouble getting to my own conference line. Welcome to our family reunion. How are you guys doing? I see a number of you on the dashboard, and I welcome each of you. I'm sorry we won't have a chance to hear from every person, but let's start with any updates, wind progress notes, and anything that you'd like to brainstorm with our group. So let's do a check-in. But one at a time. What do you guys have? We have our 30 minutes prior to Aaron Walker, our guest, coming on to talk about podcasts. I think you're going to be impressed and inspired by what he has to say. But I'm eager to hear from each of you. What are you up to? What kind of things would you like us to discuss?
Well, this is Kip.
Kip,
go
hey,
ahead,
welcome.
Kip.
I was beginning to feel a little alone there. Go ahead, my man. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm just checking in, let you know I'm here, and I'm certainly interested in hearing our speaker. And I'm, you know, currently looking to do seminars for physicians and medical folks on burnout and how to stay in a resilient mindset. And I found I just finished up a series of eight with some docs and medical folks, and I've been really appreciating the work that you've done that I've learned from you in order to help with the medical, whole medical career folks. And I know docs are the suicide rates are up and burnout rates are very high. And so I have an interest, just letting people know, an interest in reaching out to folks who could use some support and being able to stay in the mindset of energy and focus and release, to not take on the vicarious trauma of the patients and other folks that are being treated who are suffering. So that's my interest, just to put it out there.
Well, thanks. That's a great way of checking in, too, to let everybody know what you're doing, what you're focusing on. And for any of you interested in contacting Kip Flock, or anytime you hear anything of interest and want me to do a connection, I'll be happy to do that. Just fire me an email. So a great way to check in, Kip, and thanks. Someone else spoke at the same time. Would you go ahead, please?
Hi, Dave. It's Kristen.
Hey,
I've been working on
go
doing my
say
blog.
Your full name and your coaching practice and where you are.
This is Kristen Krause. I'm doing Kiva Wellness Coaching, and I'm out of Colorado Springs. I've been working on my blog post and starting to get that lined up and ready to go, and really focusing on the Root of Origin and the Roadmap Wellness Program. And I'm finding it to be a very easy platform to really help pull a lot of wisdom out of people. And I've seen a lot of great progress with the people that I'm working with, and I'm happy to be here.
Super. Thanks. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Sounds great. Who else?
This is Erica. This is Erica Pembroke. And good after, I guess. Good morning for me. It's still, it's 11 o'clock in Salt Lake City, so it's
okay.
A little early here. Yes, I am, my company is called Core Plus More. I have a private practice, but I also work with, a lifestyle and a weight loss, live-in retreat, in Salt Lake City. And, I've been doing that for about the last 3 months, and I have thoroughly enjoyed seeing my clients' transformations and, just what they really, this is strength that they have within them to be going down this journey. So I'm just really eager to continue the journey with them, and then also learning from all of you.
Terrific, thanks. You also reminded me, each of you know that these calls are recorded, and I will be sending out a link as soon as my IT guy posts them. And for those of you who may not have attended or listened to the last couple of mentor groups, you know, we have these each quarter. The last mentor group was a discussion and presentation for a portion of the time on professional fees. And the one before that, because whenever you get the link, you'll see the last several ports having to do with the dates that the mentor groups occurred. The next to last one was one where Dr. Sereny Pillay of Harvard was our guest talking about his book, Tinker, Dabble, Doodle, Try. And it's a fascinating application of neuroscience to understanding about people's stories and application that each of you can make because of your backgrounds and awareness now to mentor coaching. So those are a couple I wanted to highlight in case you haven't listened to them. They're still available at the site that you'll get the link to for this recording. So other check-ins and what would you like to discuss? Questions or challenges to the group where our group can be a mastermind group and give feedback because we have a wealth of information and can develop group wisdom here in a way that I think is really unique. So any check-ins or any questions to the group for responses or feedback?
Yeah, this is Kip.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
I had
the rest of the group is getting some coffee. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious about some of the folks that have gotten their practices going in wellness. So I'd be interested in hearing, I know I'm hearing there's been a great response. Two things. How did you get your clients lined up? And then some of the things you're doing that's resulting in such a great response.
Great question. I think we have a wealth of experience with people on the line. What kind of successes have you had that you can share with the group that might be helpful to inspire some different ways of thinking about things? Kip, prime the pump here. What did you do that you can do again with your seminars for the docs, and what did you learn from that would be helpful that can be replicable or that you can lateral to other situations?
Yeah, I integrated mindfulness with meditation and yoga and the brain science, and weave that together over 8 sessions to help increase the clarity of mindfulness, the energized focus, and career life balance. So I had chair yoga interspersed without, along with breathing and meditation techniques, along with focusing on the roadmap for a relationship, career-life balance, and I didn't do the money piece on, but the wellness piece was certainly relevant, especially when we look at people who are treating folks who are in pain over many, many years, not just physically, but emotionally. We know, you know, you've said it, that physicians will give a prescription or a treatment plan, and only half the people follow through on it, and then the other half, only half of them do it partially, so that there is a wanting to be helpful through the medical profession, but there's a frustration that people aren't following through. And so the whole 8 sessions were about how to clear the mind of the distress of not being helpful, staying focused in the present, and then entering the map of the world of the patient while keeping the practices going and creating the routines for being able to stay in the moment and to continue to stay activated in the parts of the brain that could be restorative. So I put all of that together, and it worked out pretty well. I was very pleased with it. And I also got it that a lot of people don't realize that they need to be taking care of themselves, and that includes all the coaches. You know, we're working with folks who are frustrated and they're scared. And in order for us to help, we need to enter that map enough to resonate with their realities, but not get identified with it over the years. And I've burned out twice, and I know how debilitating that can be. So I've been wanting to really be helpful to the providers, the service providers, and other coaches and psychotherapists. And so I felt really good about putting it together. And so I'm just looking for other opportunities to either replicate it or, you know, customize it to fit, you know, some of the different agencies and hospitals and places where people need to go, like rehabs, to finish off their prescriptions and treatment plans.
And that's terrific. Thanks for that summary. And if anybody wants to ask Kip questions, go for it. And I think the emphasis here is the reason people don't follow doctor's orders is that they're orders. Giving somebody an order automatically activates a process of opposition to instruction, which is mediated by the whole brain neurochemical system of cortisol and adrenaline. Remember from conversational intelligence that the first few words boots up a particular mindset that then processes the remainder of the conversation. Additionally, an order activates the error detection mechanism in the brain because that's not what we expect. So that's why telling a client what to do, as well as a doctor giving an order, usually doesn't work, because the brain, like a two-year-old, opposes what's instructional, even if it's logical. And telling somebody what's logical information is probably the least likely way to get them to change. You've heard me say, and you probably seen my last blog called If Information Was Enough, and it's about the paradoxical effect, I think, that Kip is mentioning here. So was there a the opportunity response that someone wanted to make there, or response to Kip or questions of Kip?
This is Kristen. I had a situation that had happened, and it just really resonated with me with what he was saying. It was a word of mouth referral, and when we were talking in the sample session, that one of the first things she said was this person told her she needed life coaching. So when we did the initial talk, she came at me as if it was because somebody had already given her that order. So there was already a negative in place. And as we were talking and I was asking her questions, she was immediately shutting it down because somebody had told her she needed life coaching. So it really resonated with what you were saying. And then that reminder that only 50% follow through with that. So I guess when that word of mouth referral sometimes can put you in a position before you even get a chance to talk to that person and help them. So that's something that just, one of those aha moments that I just thought of. Also, I started reading Tinker, Dabble, Doodle, Try, and it's an amazing book. If anybody hasn't gotten it yet, it's definitely worth it.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I think the it's important in terms of the lowest hanging fruit and the nurture and care of your referral sources that your referral sources know how to refer to you. And this is part of what makes that personal connection so important. and remember about reciprocity of asking what you can do for them, but to be sure your referral sources know exactly how as well as who to refer to you in a way to facilitate that. And that's something that each of you can be useful, helpful to the referral source in that regard, because that's where I think a good deal of your coaching clients will come from, is from personal connections, relationships that already exist, and how you develop those, I think, can be really important, as we're reminded. Any questions of Kip about what he's developed? I know he asked for ideas from the group, but either way, anything else that any of you would like to add to this?
Oh, this is Erica. And Kip, I loved how did you, I'm guessing you use different tools from like the roadmap, for example. How did you kind of come to create this 8-session seminar? It sounds really remarkable. And the fact that, you know, as help, we are helpers in a sense, but we also need to have, we also need to be helped ourselves. So I think it was an important reminder that, people who are in the, I guess, helping profession also need the support and, take care for their own stress and things that are going on in their lives. So it's sounds like it's a wonderful benefit for your clients.
Yeah, this is Kip again. I spent some time with the VP of the place. There was about 29 hospitals represented, and also the wellness committee chairman, another physician. And just asked them a lot of questions, and my tendency is to want to go in and sell myself, or, so I found through the training and the mentor path that asking questions and helping them to focus their minds on the area where they, you know, where they have the most pain points or the most concern really helped. And both of them said things like, you know, physicians make a lot of mistakes. And they weren't talking about medical mistakes. It's like they make bad decisions. And they even talked about some of the ones they made. And they talked about how important it was to realize that the insurance companies are in position now of power to raise the stakes on what hospitals and physicians need to do to be accountable to them, to the point where it's raising the costs. And so I really wanted to be present and listen. And then at the end, I'm nervous trying to figure out, what is it that I can do to, get this going? I really want to be of some support here. And I asked them, well, what do you think I can do to really be helpful to the physicians and the PAs coming in? They said, ask them questions just like you asked us. And I really, with the support of Dave and so many other people, realized that in order for me to get in that circle, I need to model not giving them orders, and to be able to really hear them, and to be present. And then out of that, I certainly have an interest in the meditation practices, where I had been in a severe car accident the year before, and I used those practices to get to what's the next thing I can do, even though I'm all busted up here in a rehab. And I was able to transmute what I did to what somebody else could do, either other patients or the physicians that are treating them. And so I weaved together the 8 sessions with the help of Dave and some other folks in a way that was keeping them active. I know Dave talks about the input channel versus the output. So I really didn't talk that much. I kept them active.
That was an amazing feat, I'll bet.
Yeah, I know it. I
haven't gotten there yet, but I can imagine.
Yeah. So anyway, those are some thoughts on that.
Give your website, Kip, because there's also some interesting information about what you're talking about there on your website, and I'll bet that would be valuable for some coaches to see as well.
Yeah, so that's Kip at KipFlock.com. I have a little bit of story
on
it.
Your email address. Can you give your website?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's Kip, www.KipFlock.com. And
okay,
I have on there the general outline and description of the eight programs that I did.
Super. Yeah. Right, thank
you.
Oh. Yeah, and anything, any announcements any of you want to make, or when you publish, you know, anything, let me know, and I'll be happy to forward that to our group. Just to keep everybody in the loop. A couple of announcements that I want to make. One is, beginning next Monday, there will be a four-part teleseminar series that each of you are invited to as my guests on successful navigation of change and transition, mind, brain, and behavior strategies. I will send a link to that with the teleconference access numbers and the link for the playback page and the outline, and you're welcome to do that. I think it might be helpful for you if you're interested, because probably every one of your clients will be going through some change and some transition. One other thing I wanted to announce, and Kip reminded me of this because he will be appearing at it. I'm going to be doing a three-day retreat at Omega Institute in New York's Hudson Valley. It's a one-hour shuttle ride from New York City, June 22nd through 24th. And it's about the mind and brain sciences of understanding and creating a new money story. It's a fun, active retreat involving a number of interactive exercises, tools, methods to create a new money story. And there are three of our group who are going to be guests, three from our family of mentor coaches who will do short segments. One, Linda Moore, will be coming in from New Zealand to do a brief segment on money planning and budget based on behavioral economics and new money story. Kip Flock from Pennsylvania will facilitate a brief interactive process of resilience training, incorporating exceptional experience and contribution that he has from family systems. And PJ Gunter will initiate Friday evening with an introduction and a warm-up exercise. Some of you who attended a similar retreat I did last year at 1440 Multiversity in the Redwoods of California, it was a special treat to meet some of you for the first time, be able to interact with you over a three-day period. So I hope to see a number of you at Omega for a very, I believe, a very special and productive experience. The fee for the three-day retreat is a, I think, pretty reasonable, $375. Omega determined that, and I think it's very reasonable. So hopefully you'll be able to trek up there and participate. I think it'll be a really fun and productive time. Now, other thoughts, inputs, questions, challenges that any of you would like to bring to the group, or just updates that you'd like to share with the group. We've got a few minutes before our special guest comes. I'd like to hear from others of you.
Kip, this is Kristen. I had a question. With your eight sessions, do you do like a group coaching? Is that how you do it? Like where you just collaborate in one place, or how are you doing?
It did lend itself to some group coaching, and it also focused on various skills that came out of my initial interview that they practiced. So I did model some coaching and also getting feedback from other folks in the group, but it was a pretty small group. And so there was coaching on the meditation practices, coaching on, you know, some of the chair yoga that we did, and also coaching with the roadmap and getting their stories clarified. And also there was some coaching on how to engage colleagues and even patients to help increase a culture of mindfulness, a culture of collegialship, not just with the people who are working there, but also collegialship and collaboration with patients. So, yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. That's awesome.
Kip, how do you do a group like that when you don't have a closed group like a coaching group with confidentiality as part of the framework and people begin to share some things that make them vulnerable, or if you want to do a laser coaching session, you know, how do you balance that with knowing that it's an open group and you don't have a deal, an agreement with them about confidentiality? How do you think about that and regulate that?
Well, I had incorporated into it an opportunity to do individual coaching every week where people would call in to do some more specific work, and they had that option. And also I had people come up afterwards and say, you know, my son died from a heroin overdose, and it's good to hear that there are some things I can do for me. I didn't go into any kind of rules or guidelines as much as I wanted to be sensitive and not ask questions about something that could be personal. But what I would do is say, you know, this is a question I have. Please monitor yourself that you're only answering in a way that you're comfortable with. And if you have anything personal that you don't want the rest of the group to hear, that's okay. Just trust yourself to know what it is that you want to put out there and what you don't. And then also, here are some things we can do to support ourselves while we may have emotions there and still get some feedback on some of the technology or the techniques that can be used.
You know, that's a terrific way to frame the inclusion and exclusion parameters and to protect someone and have them be mindful of the self-disclosure and to give them an avenue if there are other needs or a need for greater exploration. They have that in addition to the context of the group. So having those two avenues really makes that framework initially very meaningful and I suspect very, very important for each of the participants and for you as the facilitator and coach. So that's a terrific idea about framing it in that way.
David, this is Lauren Smith calling.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to chime in. I have some feedback, but I just wanted to make sure I understood. Is this, he's doing the seminar over the phone or you're in a large room with people?
It's in a room with people, so it's live, in vivo.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So I've done group work with like 100 people in a room at a time, and we have everyone actually stand up in the very, very beginning of our piece of work, whether it be a day or a three-day workshop, and we ask that people pledge to the group their confidentiality. So that's another way to do it where we talk about, we set the boundary and the parameters, and we ask them to stand up and say, I, Lauren, pledge my confidentiality to this group. It's another way of doing it.
That's a great idea.
Thanks, Lauren, for sharing that. It is half past. I'm going to check. Has Aaron arrived?
Yes, I'm on, Dr. Kruger.
All right, buddy, and we'll proceed if you call me Dave. Let me do just a brief introduction here. Aaron Walker has successfully built and sold a dozen businesses. His executive coaching business, View from the Top, includes having done a dozen mastermind groups, numerous executives, and successful individual work. He has done 600 podcast interviews himself and facilitated 600,000 podcasts in the U.S. alone. His creation, Entrepreneurs on Fire, is in 193 countries and has 1.5 million downloads per month. Aaron has been interviewed over 260 times by hosts from around the globe. So, welcome to non-podcast, non-interview, number 261. Aaron, it's a privilege to have you and to have you interact with the group. I've looked forward to it.
Hey,
Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. Man, listen, when you said all that, it made me tired, like I want to go take a nap. When you said all that, it was like, well, that's a lot of talking, a lot of interviewing. But thank you very much for allowing me to come in today and be with all of you. It's just a real delight and a real privilege. And Dr. Kruger and I talked at length about some of the marketing strategies that we're doing. I don't want to give a dissertation. I don't want to stand up here today and just give a speech. I want to have interaction. So feel free at any time to interrupt me and ask questions as we go through this process. Is that good, Dr. Kruger? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Totally.
Well, I want to tell you a little bit about the reason that I want to talk to you about this today. I have to go back. I have to give you a little backstory. When I started View from the Top 4.5 years ago, I had retired after owning a dozen businesses when I was 50 years old. I'm 57 now, and I retired. I took a couple of years off. I didn't do anything. And then a mastermind group that I'm in with Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller and Ken Abraham and Jeff Mosley, some of those names may mean something to you. Some of them may not mean anything to you, but for 2 decades, we've been in mastermind together weekly. For over 2 decades, and masterminds have radically changed my life, needless to say. But when I sold this last business, Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller said, what are you going to do now? And I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to go down to the Caribbean. I'm going to sit on the front porch of a tiki hut, and I'm going to drink iced tea, and I'm not going to do anything. They started laughing, and they said, you've tried that twice before, and you've been very unsuccessful at it, and I want to encourage you to consider coaching. And I said, I'm not coaching anybody. I'm like, done. I'm tired. I've been working since I was 13. I'm exhausted. And they said, no, man, you're too young. You're 50 years old. I mean, you've got to do something.
I bet they believed everything except the iced tea part.
They ain't water. I said, I don't drink iced tea. But anyway, it sounded good. It sounded refreshing. So I told them, I said, listen, I'll think about this. So I did, and I'm a Christ follower, and so I had to pray about it. So I prayed about it, and I went and talked to some people that are trusted advisors, and they said, Aaron, you've been married over 3 decades, coming up on 38 years now, next month. And they said, you've owned a dozen businesses. You've got a lot to add to people. You need to coach. So I thought, man, maybe there's something to this. So I started thinking about it, and Dave Ramsey said, come and do Entree Leadership Mastery. I'll gift it to you. And I thought, well, that's a $10,000 gift. Why don't I do that? So I went and did that, and I loved it. It was like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. Well, Dan Miller invited me to do Innovate out at the Sanctuary in Franklin, which I live here in Nashville, not far from those guys. So I went to the Sanctuary, and I did Innovate. And that night, I was on my way home, and Dan Miller texted me, and he said, Aaron, he said, did you notice the people at your table? And then I said, well, what do you mean? Did I notice them? Sure, I noticed them. He said, no. He said, they were leaning in. They were like leaning forward. They were listening to what you had to say. And I said, well, maybe I'm a good storyteller. And they said, no, it's because you've got so much experience and they want to know what you've got to say. He said, you have got to coach. So anyway, I signed up for coaching and I said, all right. And then I said, I've been in bricks and mortar my entire life. I don't know anything about the coaching space. How do I market this? And they said, you need to do podcast interviews. And I said, all right, good. What is a podcast interview? And then people started laughing. They said, what do you mean? You don't know what a podcast is? I said, I have no clue what you're talking about. This is 4.5 years ago. They told me what podcast interviews were. And I said, well, that sounds good. Who do I need to get on? And they said, well, there's this new guy started recently. He's got a lot of traction called John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneur on Fire. And I said, well, that's the one I'm going to get on. And they said, good luck. And they said, everybody wants to get on that show. So I sat down at my desk and I wrote my story. And I ain't got time today to share my story with you. But our story's gone something like poor kid from Nashville, Tennessee, makes enough money to retire by the time he's 27, selling out to a Fortune 500 company. I ran over and killed a pedestrian August 1st, 2001. And it really put me on my knees for about 5 years. I didn't want to do anything. And I overcame that through grit and determination and perseverance. And then we started other successful companies because I decided to get outside of that element and push through that. And I wrote this story out. And John Lee Dumas sent me an email. He goes, oh, my gosh, I want to have you on the show. So make a long story short, I did the interview, and he just said, Averyn, this was amazing. This interview was amazing. My coaching schedule filled up overnight, literally overnight. And I couldn't do any more coaching one-on-one because the show had made such traction. My story resonated with people. And I said, well, I'm going to keep doing these interviews. So I kept reaching out to people, doing the interviews, and I kept getting requests. I want you to coach me. And I said, I don't have the bandwidth. So I started mastermind groups, and we filled up the first group. I kept doing interviews, kept getting on other shows. So anyway, to make a long story short, we are just about to launch our 12th mastermind group. We have 110 men now from 8 different countries. I did 187 podcast interviews last year. This year I'll do over 200 podcast interviews, and we are literally building our business on the back of doing interviews. And so Tom Schwab owns a company called Interview Valet. He books my podcast for me. There's so many things that add value that we weren't even aware of. One is that we totally missed. When I started doing the interviews, you could Google my name. You could Google Averyn Walker, Hendersonville, Tennessee, and you couldn't find me with a search warrant. I didn't show up anywhere. I wasn't on anything, period. But because of the show notes, you Google Averyn Walker on Google now, and I'm on the first 10 pages of Google because of the podcast interviews. I need to update that bio. I've done close to 800 interviews now in 4.5 years, and I'm going to continue to do more and more because they are such a great tool to fill up my mastermind groups, to fill up my one-on-one coaching. I'm scaling back my one-on-one coaching, and we're adding more mastermind groups. Our goal is to have 200 people by the end of December, and I feel relatively confident that we're going to do that. And it's all been on the backs of these interviews. And because, like I just did Jordan Harbinger's show, The Art of Charm. Now it's the Jordan Harbinger show. But Jordan gets 4 million downloads a month. Well, every show doesn't get that many downloads. But my point is you think about standing before an audience where you get 500 persons. You would fly across the country to speak to an audience of 500. But this is thousands and tens of thousands and literally millions of people listening to your interview, and it's evergreen. I still get people that are one-on-one coaching clients off of interviews I did 2 or 3 years ago. And so, quite honestly, I don't have a lot to gain personally to tell you this strategy other than the fact that I wanted to share. And our objective is to share with you some of the benefits of why we do it. People say, man, don't you get tired? Yes, I get tired. Dr. Kruger, I laid out at night sometimes, and I was like, oh, my gosh, my throat is give out. I'm exhausted. But I get to get up tomorrow and do it again. And it's just absolutely mind-boggling at the conversions that we get as a result. But you've got to do it ongoing. It's not something that you can just do and be done. This is ongoing work daily. We do landing pages, and I can walk you through ever how much detail y'all want to know. We do a landing page for every single interview. For example, there's a landing page you guys need to write down. It's called interviewvalet.com/mentorpath. And there's some special things there just for you coaches. If you'll go there, there's some things that Tom is putting up on that landing page for you. But when I do the interview, I give away 3 documents. I'll give away personal assessment, which I wrote, that really talks about you as an individual. I give away what do I want. It's 25 questions to how you can live your life that you specifically want to live. And then I give away either a spouse survey, what you want your wife to know about you or what you need to know about your wife, or I give away what do I want, and along with steps to a productive day. So we have 4 or 5 lead magnets that we use. When they download that lead magnet, I exchange it for your name and your email address, and then I've got a way to follow up with you later to nurture you along to be my one-on-one client or in my mastermind group. And there's no one listening to my voice right now that can't do the exact same thing for your business, whatever it is. So, Dr. Kruger, I'm going to take a break for a second. I'm going to open it just for questions. I've got some other things I want to tell you, but I know we're real limited on time, so I want to be sure I get questions answered as we go.
Super. Thanks very much, and go for it. Any questions of Aaron?
Aaron, can you repeat the, is interviewvalet.com, or was there more to it than that?
Yep, interviewvalet.com/mentorpath. MENTORPATH.
Beautiful. Thank
you. And it shares ways that, I'm just curious to who's doing podcast interviews now to grow your coaching business. Nobody?
That pretty well covers it.
Not yet.
No.
That's why you're here, my man.
Yeah.
This is Kip.
Hey, Kip.
This is Kip. Yeah, I like you, don't know nothing about podcasts. I've never seen one. So when you say you're doing these interviews, is it all with somebody else being the facilitator, or are you creating these where you're the facilitator, inviting guests to come in? Help me understand what
sure.
that means when you're doing it.
Sure. Okay, I do it both ways. First of all, I have a podcast, and it's called View from the Top. That's the name of our company, View from the Top. And I am the host, and I interview guests on a regular basis. That is for my podcast. I built my business on the backs of other people's audiences. I leverage their audience. I get my message in front of them. They've already built the audience. And I kind of did it backwards. A lot of the people will go the other route. They'll start their own podcast, build an audience, and then they're a guest. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to leverage other people's audience to my benefit. And so what I've started doing was being a guest to offer value to a captive audience. It's in your vertical. It's already where you want to get on the podcast where your audience is already at. So it's like fishing out of a barrel. It's like your audience is already there. They wouldn't be there listening to that podcast specifically about that if they weren't interested in that topic. So it's like literally fishing at the trout farm, right? Because your people are there, and that's who you're talking to. That's why it's been so successful.
Thank you.
Any other questions? See, what happens is you become the established authority in your space. And the other thing is, I wrote a book 2 years ago called View from the Top, and I wrote another one called The Mastermind Blueprint. And a lot of times we'll give those away as gifts on the podcast interview, and we'll autograph it and send it to people. And this is just one more way to establish that you are the authority in that vertical or whatever space that it is. The search engines, as I've already talked about a little bit, they love these show notes because you're using your keywords. I don't know if any of you are doing videos. I do 3 to 5 Facebook Live videos a week. Be sure to use your keywords in that video because YouTube transcribes those automatically, and Google automatically gets the ability to the search engine optimize words as it relates to your video. So that's just a little tip that some people don't know. So whenever you're on video, be sure and use your keywords. Well, in these show notes, they're using your keywords, what it is that you're coaching about. Mine is success and significance. I teach people to live a very successful life financially, yet a very significant life. And the reason I talk about that is because in 2001, when I ran over and killed that pedestrian, I had no significance in my life. I had a lot of success financially, but no significance. Well, now when people are Googling words like success and significance, how can I be more significant in my life? It takes you to my blogs. It takes you to my podcast interviews. It takes you to my Facebook Lives. It takes you to my YouTube channel. So be very strategic in your marketing efforts when you're doing these interviews and use the right words. The other thing that I think podcast does is it gives you the ability for people to know, like, and trust you. And if they don't know you, like you, and trust you, they're not going to do business with you. So when you're talking on a podcast interview and it's evergreen and you're talking, maybe they've got 1,000 downloads. Well, that's a lot of people. I mean, you think about it, you think, well, only 1,000. You think about 1,000 people in the room and your opportunity to resonate with one or two of those for them to be your coaching client or to be in your mastermind or to sell your course to. But then that is evergreen. So a person goes and they listen to that podcast host. They'll go back to the beginning and listen to all the interviews. So you see the benefit long term. It's not like buying a magazine ad to where you do one time and the magazine gets discarded and your $5,000 advertisement goes away. These are evergreen. They're there forever. And so people repeatedly listen to them over and over and over. So it's just a great component to have these podcast interviews as a piece of your arsenal in your marketing efforts. So those are just some of the reasons that you're speaking to huge established audiences already in your vertical. What are some of the verticals with some of the coaches? Like, who is it you're trying to talk to? Anybody?
This is Kip again. I'm curious about how I would reach people who are in the medical field who may be struggling with burnout, especially physician managers, and how would I get that to, you know, who would I contact to tell them I'm interested in reaching that?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Clark Gaither is a friend of mine, and he's Dr. Burnout. That's the name of his practice, and he's got a podcast, and I've been his guest. I've been in mastermind group with him, and that's the vertical that he's looking for. There's thousands of podcasts. There's 389,000 podcast hosts in the U.S. alone, not counting the podcasts that are international. And so I will never live long enough to be on all those shows, ever. But there's certain verticals that I want to be in. And so I literally spend 25 or 30% of my time now doing interviews because I'm reaching so many people from the comfort of my office. I've got a Heil PR41 microphone, and I've got a little mixing board that I can make my sound sound good. It doesn't sound good now because we're on the phone, but when I'm doing podcast interviews, they're done on Skype or they're done on Zoom. They're done on different platforms, and so the quality of the sound is really good. So you want to spend a few $100 to kind of get your sound set up. But you just go after those verticals. What I would do is get on Twitter, and I would follow people in that industry, and I would tweet a message out and say, hey, I'm interested in being your guest on your podcast, and these are the things that I can offer. Like for me, I would say, I can tell your audience how to live a very successful and significant life, and here's how I can do that. Would you consider me being your guest? Or you can use Interview Valet. They book interviews for you. They do a pitch sheet. They give your bio. They give all your talking points. They have a calendar that schedules it for you. They do everything but the interview. All you've got to do is show up, do the interview, and Interview Valet can book it because they have the relationships with tens of thousands of podcast hosts. They can fill your wagon up. As long as you want to do interviews, they can fill it up. They book all of my interviews. I used to do it initially myself, but now as my audience has grown, as our platform is growing, my time is better spent doing the interviews rather than booking the interviews. And so I spend money doing that, but it's worth it to me because my platform is much larger and my time is more important. But initially, I started doing it myself. And you can do it yourself too. Just reach out and say, this is what I want to talk about. You can do Google searches and find out who's got podcast as a podcast host in your vertical. And so just start reaching out to them. Build yourself a pitch sheet and say, this is who I am. Here's my picture. The easier you can make it for the podcast host, the easier it's going to be for you to get on their show. You don't want them to do all the work. You want to do the work. Make it easy to get on their show. Other questions?
Aaron, starting out from scratch, would you suggest being a guest on other podcasts rather than starting a podcast ourselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. No question about it, because I ramped it up a lot quicker, leveraging other people's audience.
Okay.
See, when you're first starting out, you know, you don't have much of an audience. But when you're a guest and you're an authority on a different show, you're leveraging their audience. And then they download these lead magnets, and now you've got access to Billy and Susan and whoever, and you reach out to them and say, hey, I'm glad you resonated with my message. Could we set up a 15-minute one-on-one call? I'd love to talk to you about maybe coaching you to help you overcome or help you accomplish your goals or your dreams. And I'm the authority in that space. I can do that. See, it gives you a lead that you can reach out. Whereas if you build your own, it takes so much time, and it takes greater amounts of effort to build your audience. And so I just feel like there's great value in leveraging the other audience.
Hi, this is Naomi. Just can you clarify a little bit how you get the leads from the podcast?
Well, okay, so you build a landing page on your, sure. So you go to your website. I don't know what kind of site you have, but listen, if y'all don't have a website, huge mistake. Huge mistake. You've got to have, listen, in today's time, if you don't have a good looking website, it's a mistake. I'm just telling you. So you can build a landing page on your WordPress site if that's what you've got. And you can, every show, every interview I do, I build a landing page for that show particularly. And I give away these three lead magnets. And so I go, you know, viewfromthetop.com/entrepreneur on fire or viewfromthetop.com/the art of charm, whatever show I'm on. And they go to that show. I'm about to start doing videos. So when they come, they see me doing a video. And I go, hey, thanks for listening to me on the Art of Charm today. Below, there's three documents. I hope it helps you. There's a personal assessment. What do I want? Steps to a productive day. And you let me know if there's anything that I can do. In order for them to download those, they've got to give me their name and their email address. And so I'm building my list simultaneously.
Okay.
Now on Sundays, we have thousands of people that we're sending a newsletter out to promoting other things like the mastermind group or one-on-one coaching or group coaching or whatever it is that we're doing. And so it's a way to build your list and a way for you to get in front of the persons that are hearing you on that interview. Make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just build the landing page.
Okay.
Other questions? Great questions. Don't be bashful or timid. I mean, no question is a silly question. You know, it's anything we can help you with.
This is Jerry. I have one question.
Yeah.
Outside of all
sure.
of the podcast, what about face-to-face interviews?
Say it again. You broke up on me just a little bit.
I'm sorry. Oh, speaker. Just curious, how many live interviews do you do? A year.
Well, live speeches do I do?
Mm-hmm.
So I speak I speak at like Social Media Marketing World out in San Diego. I speak at PodFest. I'm applying to speak at Podcast Movement. I fly to St. Louis tomorrow, and I'll speak Wednesday morning to an organization. 100, 150 people will be there. So to answer your question, I'm probably going to speak a dozen times. In person. There's really not a need to do that a lot unless you just want to do it. If it's a passion project like the one I'm doing tomorrow night, I fly out tomorrow night and I'll be back at lunch on Wednesday. It's a passion project. I'm not even getting paid for it. I believe in the company and I believe in what they're doing. And so I'll fly out and do that. Social Media Marketing World, there's 4,000 or 5,000 people that attend that, and it just gets your name in front of a lot of people in our space, Podcast Movement, PodFest down in Orlando. It gets you right in front of the podcast host. There's 1,000, 1,500 podcast hosts. And also, if y'all are not going to these conferences, you're missing out, because you've got to build that relationship. The relationship happens out in the hall, and it's with the people you're drinking coffee with. You're building that rapport. You're building relationships with those podcast hosts, and they're like, yeah, man, I'd love to have you on my show. Well, if you get one or two podcast hosts to agree, because when I go to those shows, man, I'm like, hey, I want to be your guest. Here's my pitch sheet. Here's our press release kit. Here's everything that we are. I want to be your guest. And the more you're on these shows, the more people hear it, and the podcast hosts are listening to those shows, then they invite you to be on their show. So it's a snowball effect. When I first started, you know, I had great traction initially because I was fortunate enough to get on a big show. But if you're not fortunate enough to get on a big show, build momentum, build, you know, time, let it build over time. Just be willing to do multiple interviews until you get that traction.
What are the essentials of a pitch?
Can you give us any tips on what conferences are worthwhile for a first go?
Yeah, I would have to be dead or out of business to miss Podcast Movement, PodFest, and Social Media Marketing World. Those three things are a must if you're a coach. A must. Podcast Movement, PodFest, and Social Media Marketing World in San Diego. Dr. Kruger, to answer your question, you need a great picture, high resolution, and you need to make it digital and in print so you can send it to people if they don't want it digital. You need to have a brief bio, 200 words or less. You need to have the topics that you're most competent in on there, and you need to have all your contact information, how they can easily get a hold of you. Interview Valet also builds your pitch sheet for you. Matter of fact, you don't have to, if you go with Interview Valet, you don't have to do anything. They do everything for you. They schedule the appointment. They remind you. They give you the equipment if you don't have the equipment. They build your pitch sheet. They make the introduction. They schedule and book the appointment. You do nothing if you go with him. Some people can afford it. Some people can't. You can contact Tom Schwab at interviewvalet.com, and he can go over all that with you. Or go to that landing page I told you, interviewvalet.com/mentorpath, and there's some special things that he's going to do just for Dr. Kruger's coaches as kind of a thank you to Dr. Kruger for allowing us just to mention this. But, yeah, go there, and he's happy to do that. Dr. Kruger, we got 1 minute left. I know y'all are on a strict time frame, so any final comments or questions that I can help anybody with?
Got a chance to squeeze one more in. Anyone?
This is Kip. Just the three things, the podcast movement, the second one I couldn't get.
PodFest. PodFest. PodFest.
Fest. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Social Media Marketing World. Michael Stelzner owns Social Media Marketing World in San Diego. And Chris Komitskos owns PodFest in Orlando. Great guys. Great, great guys.
So, Aaron, any other follow-up than the Interview Valet link, which I will send around to everyone who is here and those who will be listening to the recording of this, any other follow-up that you recommend?
Well, I would say get started sooner than later. You'll be amazed at the traction over a period of time that you will get. You'll become kind of authority in your space, and you can even tout the fact that you're a podcast guest. That even gives credibility to what you're trying to teach, because if someone will have you on as their guest, obviously you have something important to say. And I would start sooner than later. And you're going to mess up. You're going to do terrible. If I could redo some of the interviews that I did originally, I'm like, I laid on the floor and listened to my first interview, and I went, Robin, please tell me that's not me. I mean, that was so bad. And she's like, you'll get better. You'll get better. And just continue to do the interviews, teach about the value that you can add and help the world understand why they need to hire you as a coach, because you can help with this thing. And the other thing that I would do sooner than later is I would narrow my focus. If you say I'm a coach and I can help you with anything, you are really not going to do a good job. You need to be an inch wide and a mile deep. You need to really narrow your focus and say, these are my avatars. These are the people I can help, and here's what I can give you. And the more narrow you can develop your focus, the more successful you're going to be.
Aaron, thank you so much for everything you did, taking the time and sharing your tremendous expertise. It's a real privilege to have you. I know you probably had nothing else to do this morning than this.
I had nothing more important than this, I can tell you that. So
thank you so much. It's a real treat to hear you again.
Thank you, Dr. Kruger. I enjoyed being with y'all. Thank you so much.
Thank
y'all.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you. And if there's anything else in follow-up, just fire me an email. I'll send a link as soon as I get the note that it's posted. Thanks so very much for all of you and for your energy and input.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Kruger.
Okay. Bye. Okay.